Hey there, this is Jason Hensley with the Magnify Him Together podcast. And this time we are going to discuss outsiders. How do you feel when you think about someone that you don't know coming into your ecclesia, entering into our community? Maybe on one hand you feel excited, this idea that here's somebody who wants to know more about the gospel. Or maybe on the other hand, you feel like you're kind of happy with the way things are, and we have the truth, and if somebody else comes, well, they might try to change the way we do things, or they might try to change how we approach the truth. Sometimes we have different feelings. Sometimes these feelings are a little blended inside. We feel excited and we feel apprehensive at the same time. Well, I think it's interesting to consider the story of Ruth, because Israel appears to have had this struggle as well. Do you remember what happened when Ruth first came to Bethlehem? Or maybe we should even back up. Have you ever thought about how it's kind of strange that Naomi kept urging Ruth and Orpah to go home? Now, Naomi explains that the reason is because she can't have any more children. There's no way that they could ever leave their widowhood. That's just the situation that they would always be in. But in addition to that, perhaps there's something a little bit unsaid. And that appears to come out in the next chapter. Because when Ruth does go home with Naomi, she then goes to the field, and have you ever noticed how she is described? It says there in Ruth chapter 2, Boaz goes up to his servant and he asks, "Who is this woman?" And look at how the servant describes her. He says in verse 6, "She is the young Moabite woman." Now, that makes sense. He's explaining that she's the Moabite woman, but for some reason, he adds something else. He says, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." Now, why was that necessary? Of course, if she is a Moabite woman, she came from the country of Moab. Where else would Moabites come from? So for some reason, in his description of Ruth, this young man refers to her in one sentence as a Moabite twice. You might think, that's just a strange oversight. Okay. Well, then have you ever thought about what Boaz goes on to say? Boaz approaches her, and he says in verse 9, "Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you?" Really? Boaz had to tell his servants not to do anything to Ruth? I mean, was that the kind of situation that Israel was? Where the harvesters would just take a woman like that? Take advantage of them? Is that what that's saying? Or was it the kind of situation at that time that everyone knew, certainly that harvester that Boaz asked knew, that Ruth was a Moabite, and because she was a Moabite, she was perhaps something a little less in the eyes of the people then. In fact, when Ruth comes home and she talks to Naomi, Naomi then tells her in verse 22, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." Assaulted? In the community of God? And just to bring this all together, do you remember at the end of the book, after Boaz is going to marry Ruth, he then says, there's a nearer kinsman, let's go talk to him. And Boaz proposes that all the property can go to this nearer kinsman. And this relative is ready to take it. And then Boaz says, oh, and by the way, you have to take Ruth, ready? Ruth the Moabite, he says. And it's at that point that the relative says, oh, I can't do it, or I will mar my own inheritance. That was the situation in Israel. So at the time, Israel had this feeling where, sure, maybe some people looked at an outsider with excitement, but for the most part, they looked at Ruth and said, she's a Moabite, and that is all that she will ever be. Now, they had good reason for that. If they went back to Deuteronomy 23 and read in verse 3, they would see that no Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. And so they very easily could have pointed back in the law and said, well, this is why we're treating Ruth this way, because she's not even supposed to be here. She can't be part of our congregation. And perhaps you've already thought of it. That prohibition, if it had held in this case, would have also applied to David, considering that he would have been within those 10 generations. So this law would have prohibited David, King David, from being part of the congregation. And so while people who wanted to push Ruth away, or who looked at her as an outsider, while they could have had backing for what they were saying, certainly what we can see from the way that things did play out is that that's not actually how God wanted it. That God didn't want people prohibited from entering his congregation. That if somebody wanted to be part of it, then they should be welcomed. That prohibition was for people who thought like Ammonites and who thought like Moabites. Because God goes on to say that this prohibition existed in verse 4 because they did not meet you with bread and water on the way when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam the son of Beor from Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you. It was because of what the Moabites had done. And so all of those who continued to act like Moabites would be prohibited. But Ruth wasn't like that, and David wasn't like that. And so what we see is that God's feelings towards outsiders is in fact exactly the same as God's feelings towards those in the community. That God looks for those who worship him in spirit and truth. God looks for those who are faithful, who want to know him. And so when we think about outsiders, that's what we need to remember. It's not about where someone came from. It's not about what they have done. It's about who they are now and what they want to become. That's the level on which our God functions. Because he can call those things that are not as though they are. Our God works with people, recognizing what they will be. And so when we look at people, let's put away those biases that we might have when we first see them. And instead, let's recognize that here is someone who has come to our community just like Ruth, because they know that that's where they can find the good news. And so let's open that good news to them. Let's share it. Let's do it with joy. Let's do it with love. And let's do it with sincerity. Opening up the scriptures and sharing together. Thanks for listening. And I'll see you next time on the Magnify Him Together podcast.